It is Friday, March 22nd. This is the Christian Commute, and it's trying once again to rain out all my fun. I'm driving home in the rain from Dalton, hoping that the rain has let up in Cartersville enough so that we can play our 7 p.m. soccer game. We'll see. I have that to look forward to. Here's what I don't have to look forward to. A full show. I'm out of questions. Nobody sent me a question on the Christian Commute roadside assistance inbox or called one in on the roadside assistance line. But the show must go on, as Freddie Mercury said. By the way, I'm just really tired today. Because here's what happened. It's rainy. You know, you get sleepy when it's rainy, especially when you're 40 years old, 41 years old like I am. And Mia and one of my buddies from work went out and had a big steak for lunch. And another friend of mine from work bought me a blanket because I'm always shrouded in blankets and snuggies. So I had that in my office. So I've just been sitting in my toasty office in a blanket, and I was getting kind of tired. So I made me some hot tea. So you're going to have some pauses in the show for a hot tea break. My second one of the day, so I'm begging for a kidney stone. And I'm already on the freeway. Oh, I got to hit the gas because I had to stop and get gas. My gas light was on, so I'm already on the freeway. So I'm just gonna have to get right into it. Today's show title is Extravaganza. 2024. That again is Extravaganza. 2024. This is just my annual show where I talk about all the things churches do at Easter other than just showing up and having the same old church service that they have every other Sunday. And speaking of, I'm sorry. I might be the only one who thinks this is funny. because it's serious. Serious money about a serious subject. But I emailed back and forth with the media company today who owns the billboard, the electric billboard, really close to Crosspoint. And I got the billboard. I got it. The design is done. The website is up. My boy Bill at Reformed Hosting has got the ycrosspoint.com website up to snuff. So tomorrow morning, on the last weekend before Easter, we're getting a billboard in Cartersville advertising ycrosspoint.com. And I want to do yrockbridge.com in Dalton, because that's the next site we're working on. But like George Harrison said, it's going to take money, a whole lot of precious money. It's going to take plenty of money to do it right. Do it right. Got my mind set on you. Got my mind set on you. That's the ultimate autistic person song. Like, I'm just floating along in life. Oh, there's a goat church that's secret sensitive coffee bar, life coach. And, you know, you're okay, I'm okay. That's not how the Bible says church should be. I don't like it. I'm going to set my mind on it. I'm going to make a website. And I'm going to do a bunch of sermon reviews. And you know what? I'm going to buy a billboard that says people don't go there. All right, hold on. I got a traffic problem. What's going on here? People lose their minds and forget how to drive in the rain. Uh-oh, is there a crash? Got a situation. Do I need to go to the navigation lady? What a horrible fate it would be if my game wasn't canceled, but I couldn't get there because of some wreck. Oh, here's a wreck. All right. I'm turning the navigation lady on. I can see the sirens up ahead. Oh, I might just be stuck.
Head south on I-75 south.
What are you saying, navigation lady? Navigation lady says 46 minutes. Oh no.
You're back online. You are on the fastest route. You should reach your destination by...
The wreck looks pretty fresh. I might get by. I'm going to get to the Bible chapter review, I promise. But listen, if you want to help me get people out of goat churches, the way you can do it, send me some money to buy goat church website advertisement. I bought a Facebook ad today, too. Have you guys ever bought a Facebook ad? It gives you a map and says, where do you want this ad to be spread? 3 mile, 10 mile, 2 mile radius. And I clicked on my town and like moved around my neighborhood right where Crosspoint is. And I said, I want my ad right here. So I'm going hard at the goat church, the coffee bar church, here at Easter. But I cannot do it alone. Thank you to everybody who reappropriated your Beth Moore money, who allowed me to reappropriate the Beth Moore Cruise money for this. I tell you what's going to happen is that Beth Moore Cruise is finally going to get put back on somehow, and then I'm going to have to pony up the money to pay it back and go on that cruise. I really wanted to go on that cruise, not just to hand my book out to those Beth Moore fans. But, you know, I hadn't seen all the nice fall colors up in the New England and Canada region. Alright, here we go. Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. Zechariah is praying in the temple, or burning incense and praying in the temple. And as a priest, he's doing this not just for himself, but for the multitude of people, the Jews who are outside the temple, also praying. And this is Zechariah's really special, unique turn to do this, because it's his division's turn, and he gets to go into the temple area, into the innards of the temple, where not everybody is allowed to offer the incense and prayer. And before I continue, let's talk about the meta-narrative of Scripture, the narrative as a whole. See, there's the narrative of any individual book in Scripture, like what's going on right then. Like the narrative here is Zechariah is John the Baptist's dad, and he's praying in the temple, and an angel's going to come to him. We're right at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. But, you know, there's a narrative in Exodus where the Jews are put upon by the Egyptians and they're praying for deliverance and God delivers them. Moses delivers them. You have the narrative in Acts where Paul is going on his missionary journeys. You have the narrative in Job where Job is being tempted, but he won't curse God. He won't do it. But what about the meta-narrative of Scripture? That's how all of these 66 books tie together. And it's not just spelled out for you a lot of times. You have to notice it. So what's going on in Israel? The people want their Messiah. They're under Roman subjugation. And a man named Zechariah, whose name means God remembers, is in the temple praying. And he's praying not just for himself, but for all the people. And God remembers them. Who else did God remember? He remembered the Hebrews under Egyptian slavery when they cried out under persecution, and he sent them a deliverer in Moses. And we have a birth narrative from Moses, by the way, in Exodus. Is it Genesis or Exodus? It's either the beginning of Exodus or the end of Genesis. Hey, Liz, hey, I got a master's in this. That's how close I can get. It's either at the end of Genesis or at the beginning of Exodus. I think it's the beginning of Exodus. And here, although they're not as abused as they were under Egyptian rule, we have the Jewish people in need of a deliverer. And their deliverer is a about to come. Now, the deliverer is not John the Baptist. The deliverer is Jesus. But John the Baptist is the precursor or herald of Jesus. Precursor to or herald of Jesus. So that's part of the story. You have people praying for deliverance. It doesn't say what everybody's praying for right here. It's a multitude of people. They're not. The scripture doesn't say they're all praying, deliver us from Roman rule, Lord. The implication here in scripture is that John the Baptist is praying for a baby or has been praying for a baby. But don't forget that God remembers. Just as God remembered the Israelites and sent them Moses, now God is remembering the Israelites and sending them Jesus. When you talk about typology in scripture, Moses is a type of Christ. The Christ who is to come, and here the Christ is coming. So let's move on from that note about meta-narrative. I have time to talk about meta-narrative. Because nobody wrote into the inbox. Also, I have time to take a drink of my tea. I'm almost done with it already. I could have swore. That's how Christopher Walken would say. I could have swore that I put more hot water in my metal cup, but I don't have enough. I'm out of tea. I don't know why. Why am I talking like Christopher Walken? I have no idea. Maybe on the April 1st episode of The Christian Commute. It's coming up, the April Fool's Day episode. Maybe Christopher Walken will host the episode. We'll see. An angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Why is Zacharias scared? Nobody is supposed to be standing there. You ever in a room or in a place and you don't think anybody else is there, and then you see somebody and you're startled? It doesn't have to be somebody who looks like a thug or a monster. It should be anybody because you think you're alone. So Zacharias is supposed to be alone, and he's not. And who does he see? It's not even a regular dude. It's an angel. It's an angel of the Lord. And almost every time in scripture when people see an angel of the Lord, they get scared. Yeah, he's scared. Almost every time the angel in scripture, the angel has to say, "Don't be afraid." So the angel says, "Don't be afraid. Your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." What's the name John mean? Google that. God is gracious. So God remembers, and then God is gracious. And listen, you can remember and not be gracious, but God remembers and God is gracious. Always pay attention to the names. Sometimes we just read them and we don't think anything of it, of the names. People in the original language knew what the names meant. It's like back in the ancient times, cowboy days in America and before, when there was the vast frontier and there was Indians, and their name, you know, it wasn't like John Cloudkicker or Joseph Wolfstalker. It was like he who hunts buffalo with spears. Like their name meant something, okay? And it's very obvious because that's what they said every time they said it. But it's the same thing in scripture too. All these names, they usually mean something. And it's in God's providence that these people got named then. So read this through, read the narrative, and then pick up the meta-narrative, and then pick up the meaning of the names. God remembers and God is gracious. And with that, we'll end the Bible chapter review at verse 14. Lord willing, on Tuesday, we'll pick up again with the rest of Gabriel's message. By the way, that's who this angel is. It's Gabriel. He's going to say what his name is later. The rest of Gabriel's message to Zacharias. Almost said that. I think I said Zechariah once. Zacharias. message to Zacharias. All right, here's where I would say it's time to go to the inbox. If you've got a question about Christian theology or apologetics, write into SethDunn88@gmail.com or dial 470-315-0875, the Christian Community or Roadside Assistance. But none of you did it. I threatened an anecdote. I could sit here and give my opinion on when to steal and when not to steal in Little League. But I'm just going to move on because I want to talk about extravaganza again. All right, if your social media feed is anything like mine, it's not just the outdoor billboards that are starting to pop up. It's all the advertisements for churches that are starting to be in your feed, and they're localized. What's great about social media is it knows where you live. Some people, it bothers you. You think it's creepy. But what's great about social media is it knows where you live. It knows where you usually are because your phone goes there. So you're not going to get an advertisement on Facebook. Let's say if you're Candace from Wisconsin, you're not going to get an advertisement on Facebook for Henry's Louisiana Grill in Ackworth. I might get one because I love that restaurant. My phone knows that I go there. And you better believe that when I say I love Henry's, you know my phone hears that. It sends it into Google. It's like, they send him an advertisement for Henry's. You know it doesn't. I'll be talking about a person I haven't seen in a while because I'll see somebody else at the ballpark. Oh, have you seen so-and-so? And then the next day, it's like, would you like to friend so-and-so on Facebook? I know the thing listens to me. And so it's going to give you specialized ads. So what I'm seeing, and I'm sure it's what you're seeing, are ads for churches near you. And they could be as simple as, hey, Easter's coming up. Come to our church. Here's our service time. You know, we'd love to have you. Or they could be like the hard sell for some event. Like, you got to come, and this is the greatest thing ever. And what I've found is the bigger the church is, like a mega church or a church flirting with mega size, the further its aim reaches. So I got an advertisement today on Facebook for Four Points Church for their Easter service. And Four Points Church is a newer church in Cartersville. I think it's an Acts 29 church. And I want to say it meets in a little strip mall over by Waffle House. It's not far from my house at all, so I'm not surprised that I would get that ad. But I also lately have got an ad from Burnt Hickory Baptist Church, which is further away from my house. It's probably 20, 30 minutes away from my house. I'd have to go off Highway 41 to go there. And I have been there before. That's the episode I did on spontaneous baptism when we had a couple Sunday soccer games. And I said, hey, here's what we'll do. We'll go to an 8 o'clock service over here at Burnt Hickory Baptist, and we'll make our soccer games too. And I went to their 8 o'clock service, and it was spontaneous baptism day. And they had a playground, a basketball court on the playground. I can't remember if they had a ball pit. One of my kids said they did. If you know if they have a ball pit or not, let me know. So the big church like that, their advertisement was egg hunt. They were having a big egg hunt, and they were inviting me to come to their egg hunt. So the big church wants a bigger reach because they know people. When you're big like that, when you're a giant church, you got to pull from a wider area to fill up. Little church, 10-mile radius. Big church, 50-mile radius. There's people who commute all week to work, and then they'll drive 20, 30 minutes to their mega church. So Burnt Hickory Baptist was having an egg hunt, advertising a come to our egg hunt event. That's what I've seen. And that's what you're basically going to see is advertisements for the services or the multiple services, because some churches have to add a service. I'll give you an example. I talked about the billboard First Baptist Cartersville has up. I talked about that yesterday. There's three service times on that billboard. There's only usually two. there's a 9 o'clock service and there's a 10:30 service. But they're adding one. I don't know if it's earlier or later. But I'm not going to change what I do. I'm going to tell you this. There's a 60-40 shot that I'm not going to go to First Baptist on Cartersville, or First Baptist Cartersville on Easter. And you're like, well, why would you do that, Seth? You go there every other Sunday. Well, yeah, but First Baptist Church is like, it's a quote-unquote, it's a First Baptist, right? It's a named church. It's a church that people who go to church on Easter just to go to church on Easter would go to. Like, nobody's going to go to, side of the road Country Baptist Church just because it's Easter. But First Baptist, same thing with Tabernacle in Town. Same thing with Cross Point. Same thing with Sam Jones. People are just going to go. And they know that, and they're adding an extra service. And it's just not going to be the normal, sing a song, here's a sermon, take an offering, maybe not do communion, go to Sunday school. They're not going to have Sunday school. And Sunday school is like, I'd rather go to Sunday school. So I'll either go to the little Presbyterian church next door to Cross Point, or I'll go to the Reformed Baptist Church out on Highway 113 towards Dallas. That's where I'll go. And I guarantee you, you're not going to see an advertisement for either of those churches. I will be the guy who's like, why is he in my pew? He's not normally here. But hey, those churches are so small, they have plenty of pew space. But I'm sorry. I just can't stand it when the normal Sunday of church, and this is not because I'm autistic and I have a routine, when the normal Sunday worship services church is like, we're going to change it up because people who only come twice a year are going to be here and we're going to change something up for them. Like, why? They don't care. If they cared about church, they'd come here every Sunday when it was a normal, mundane Sunday. And I hate to say that every Sunday is mundane, because it is certainly not mundane what Jesus has done for us. You know, every Sunday, and I say this every year, every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. That's why we meet on Sunday and not Saturday. It's Resurrection Day. So we don't just celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday, the anniversary of the resurrection. We're celebrating the resurrection every Sunday. And by the way, our ordinances are tied to that. Our ordinance of baptism is tied to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's what it symbolizes. Our ordinance of communion, or the Lord's Supper, it symbolizes Jesus' body that was broken for us, His blood that was shed for us on Good Friday, and then He resurrected on Sunday. So it's like everything is about that resurrection and what happened on that Easter weekend. It's every Sunday. It revolves around that. But then we want to act, well, it's Easter, and we're going to really talk about the resurrection this time. Like, no, we're supposed to talk about the resurrection every Sunday. And you know there's crazy stuff out there, like churches giving away TVs and you know, like the same church that has Super Bowl Sunday services are going to have Easter giveaways. I don't even know, like, what's going on there. But churches that are still normal Orthodox churches are changing things. And even the churches who aren't changing things are putting out ads. And they can be anything from a small ad to a big ad. Let me ask you this, because this has happened, I feel like this has happened from whatever church I'm at over the last 10 years, and maybe it was happening longer and I didn't notice. The past few Sundays at church, I've been seeing little invite cards. Like, here, hand out this card. It says Easter, come to our Easter service. And, you know, hand it out, leave it somewhere, here's the invite cards. Well, we don't have invite cards every week. Listen, somebody's lost and in need of a Savior every week. Why do we only have invite cards the month before Easter? And that's just not a First Baptist thing. That's an everywhere thing that I've seen. And listen, if I, just like I said yesterday, I really personally do not believe in advertising churches. I'll never forget the first time I saw a church advertisement, and it was my church, and I was kind of mad about it. I was at the theater, the movie theater in Cartersville. I don't even really remember what movie I went to go see, but I was the movie theater in Cartersville. I think I was married by this point. I didn't have kids yet. And Yeah, I guess my wife was with me. I don't remember if my parents were there or whoever. I don't remember. This is how much I remember. I don't remember who was with me. I don't remember what the movie was, but I remember the boring ad. So, you know, when you go see a movie, you have the coming attractions. You have the trailers. There's a little video about don't use your cell phone. Clean up after yourself, too, before the movie starts. And then they have the coming attractions. I like to watch the coming attractions. I like to see the movies that are coming out. But before all that, if you're extra early to the movies, they just cycle through ads, like flat ads. So-and-so plumbing. You know, or there's a Mexican restaurant across the street. 10% off with your movie ticket at the Mexican restaurant across the street. And they just flash through different ads. Not a video, nothing fancy. And I remember an ad came up, Tabernacle Baptist Church. This is the address, this is the service time. And I remember sitting there, and I was a member of Tabernacle this time, and I'm like, did my tithe dollars just paid for this ad? Why are we advertising? First of all, it's a huge church. You can't go down Tennessee Street or Church Street, literally Church Street town, and not see it. It's got a preschool. Everybody knows it's there. It's a huge building with a steeple. Who in the world on this very street, Tennessee Street, where the church is, doesn't know that church is there? And second of all, why would they decide to come to church? Like, I'm 30 minutes early to the movie, and the church has flashed up in advertising. Well, I guess I'll go to church there now. I wasn't going to go to church before, but now that I saw this boring flat ad in the movie theater that tells me the address of the church and the start time, I guess I'll go. It didn't say, like, you're lost and you need Jesus, come ask us about Jesus, come ask us about the gospel, come study the Bible with us. It was just, here's the church. And I was mad. I was like, this is wasteful. We don't need to advertise the church. We need to advertise Jesus, if you will. Just go share the gospel. What's going on here? So I remember being frustrated about that. And, you know, that's a very simple way that churches advertise. And I guess that's the kind of thing you see with these Facebook ads. It's Easter and you're going to see them. And guys, Facebook advertising is cheap. I just bought a localized ad for $7. It's going to show for 7 days. I made a Facebook group called YCrossPoint.com or a Facebook public page. And it's going to advertise that. And it's going to advertise it to the people around my neighborhood, because that's the people who go to Crosspoint. I mean, I went on the map, I saw the river that's in my neighborhood where the rich people live, and I drug the edge of that right to the river so I could get everybody in my neighborhood, including those rich people, and then get everything off to the left in a 3-mile radius around Crosspoint. And that's who I want the ad to go to. But if I had a church, I would be like, let's come to this church. Here, advertise so you know it's there. I want people not to go there. And I'm assuming they know about it. So no matter how much money it is, I want to ask somebody. I want you, if this is happening at your church, ask whoever's in charge, like, why are we advertising? Like, why are we advertising something on Facebook? Now, understand if there's an event. If you're having one of these, sportsman dinners, or if you're having a volleyball camp, or VBS is a good one to advertise. Like, if there's an event, okay, yeah, like, I get it. You want people to know about your event, and your event does tie to the mission of the church. But why are you having, like, it's Sunday? Well, that's not, I mean, that is an event. It's the worship event, but it's the event we do every Sunday. It's not the sportsman's dinner. It's not VBS. It's not volleyball camp. You can go to church here on Sunday if you want to. Okay, everybody knows that every Sunday. And here's the thing, those ads are really not targeted to church-going people. They're targeted to people who know they should go to church, and it's Easter. So they think, all right, let's get nice clothes and go to church since it's Easter. We'll go this one day a year. Your travel ball's canceled this weekend. They still cancel travel ball for Easter. You know what? I just thought about it. I think I'll be in Athens. Oh, I got to go to my in-laws' church on Easter. They're preachers, too. I might stand on the corner of the road when Colbert preaches a sermon in Easter. I could throw a rock at a Bible verse and preach. preach a better sermon than they preach at that church. My gosh.
Oh.
The last time I went there, it was Brother Brad's gone, thank God. But it wasn't the regular preacher, it was the substitute. And he was giving a sermon. I don't even remember what it was about, but he kept calling the Chaldeans the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans, and the Israelites are afraid of the Chaldeans. I'm like, dude, if you had spent a month, not like a month in Bible college, just like a month listening to expository sermons, you know it's Chaldeans. It's Chaldeans. I mean, I've known that since I was a kid because I listened to sermons from a pastor who knew how to pronounce Chaldean. And I'm not trying to be picky. Nobody's going to go to heaven because they pronounce Chaldeans right. And there's a lot of things in the Bible that are hard to pronounce. I mean, don't get me preaching a sermon on Mars Hill. I cannot pronounce Areopagus. Areopagus, Areopagus. I always want to call it Areopagus. And then you get some of those Hebrew names. I get it, but come on. Chaldeans? Chaldeans? Anyway, that's why I come to the... That's why I'll be on Easter. That's a first world problem. Of all these churches I get to go to, I have to go to this one. Somebody in Sudan's getting murdered by a Muslim terrorist right now. And I'm complaining about, I have to go listen to a bad sermon on Easter. What was I talking about before I went on that rabbit trail? Oh yeah, we got to get people who just want to come to church that day just to come.
Why? It's like the people who advertise buying cars on the day people get their tax refund. It's April. Come make a down payment. Come file your taxes here, financially illiterate person, and buy a car as soon as you get your money back. Your tax return is your down payment. Come on. Or, oh no, it's President's Day. We're having a sale at High League Myers on sectionals. Furniture store. Come on. And it's basically saying, like, this is our day. The retailers have Black Friday. Amazon has Cyber Monday. And churches have Easter weekend. This is our push to get our numbers up. Why is it about our numbers up? And why do we have to have an extravaganza, I'm talking about events. Inviting this neighboring community for an egg hunt. Do you think those churches are doing it just to do something nice for the kids? Do you think it's ever been a mega church's mission to do something nice for the kids? Listen, I love hunting Easter eggs. I love making Easter eggs. Now that I'm adult, I like to hide the Easter eggs, okay? Carton of eggs is like $2, and the pause Easter egg dye is $5. I mean, I don't really think anybody is like too poor to have Easter eggs. And I know other people like to get the plastic eggs and put Hershey Kisses in them and Starburst. That's cool. But it's not like these church events where you sign up to buy a present for a poor kid. You know, he's not going to get one otherwise. It's basically like, all right, what do the secular people who don't love Jesus do around Easter? Because it's Easter. Well, they're all doing egg hunt. Let's do an egg hunt. They're kids that want to come, and we'll get them little Chuck E. Cheese prizes inside the eggs. And we'll get everybody to come, and then be like, oh, by the way, while you're here, why don't you come to church this weekend? Or extravaganza. It's extravaganza, and then we're going to have church, and you can come with your kids and play in the ball pit. Look how cool our church is. Your kids love it. It's just trying to make kids love something. Breakfast cereal and Ninja Turtles and Saturday morning cartoons and megachurch. If that's what they're going to do, let them do it. And there's a lot of churches who are just not going to do an extravaganza. Or they're not going to do an egg hunt. Who was it? Church of the Highlands in Chattanooga used to drop Easter eggs out of a helicopter. My gosh, maybe I need to get whychurchofthehighlands.com next. Dropping Easter eggs out of helicopters. Let the megas advertise whether the events or not, but stop making like church, like Easter weekend, the time to make your year, like your fiscal year. all that really tells me is that evangelism and invitation is not a high priority the other 52 weeks. Now, the other side of that argument is, well, people are more likely to say yes. People are more likely to buy a car when they have a tax return because they don't feel cash strapped. People are more likely to come to church when it's Easter because that's when our culture says it's time to come to church. And if they come to church, then they'll respond to the gospel. I mean, I get it, but you can't take them to it outside the church. It's just the whole backwards church growth model is really highlighted, exacerbated, whatever you want to say, on Easter weekend. So look out for those Easter ads. And if you see a goat church come through, a church that's terrible, take that time on Facebook and make a comment and say, "You're terrible. No, I'm not coming here." Or if it's your church, make a comment like, "How much did we spend on this?" I didn't really talk much about extravaganzas, Mabel, you know what? Maybe I will title this one Easter Marketing Budgets. How about that? I've had some boring titles and boring topics on the Christian community. I am an accountant. But Easter Marketing Budgets could take the cake. Remember the whole show I did on how much programs cost? Why are we printing bulletins? Printing bulletins on a color printer. It's like 25 cents a bulletin. Why are we doing that? Put the announcement on the internet. There's a whole show on that. Might do this on Easter advertising budget. Extravaganza. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.